You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is
Suckers!
I'm Kaylin Bell.
I'm Dean Bell.
And I'm Jared Haben.
An iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of Suckers with Jared Haben, me, myself, and I. I'm currently in my kitchen recording this podcast solo, as I do every week. Is it every week? I feel like I've been slacking lately, I have to be honest. I've been certainly trying to do every week. But I'm doing well. I hope everybody listening out there is doing well as well. Weather's turning here in Rhode Island. It's sunny outside. I was going to try to record this outside, but, you know, logistically, that just wasn't going to happen. It's like 60 out. So if you're up in the New England area, you understand where I'm coming from and how seasonal depression is a very real thing. And weather's turning is making me happy. Just being outside. You know, things are good. We had Easter, talked about that on the podcast last week. It was fun to see Dawson run around. He went ice skating for the first time. I wasn't there. I had to work. But Ashley's sister is my sister-in-law. Her fiancé, because he's not my brother-in-law yet, they're not married. Her fiancé, Hunter, is a plays hockey. And they went skating together, which is a lot of fun. And so it was cool to see Dawson skating and just like running around on the ice, not knowing what he was doing. It was really cute. Ashley recorded a lot of videos and pictures, so I got to see it, which was great. I don't skate, so I can't really teach him how to do that, unfortunately. I can teach him how to do a lot of different things, but unfortunately, skating is not my expertise, so I was glad that Hunter is able to, you know, skate with him safely, because, you know, he would just like... Hunter would be holding on to Dawson and Dawson would be gliding on his skates, and Hunter is a great skater, so he was able to stay on his feet. And so Dawson had a lot of fun doing that, which is great. You know, another kid on the way, another boy, number two, and July 28th, I think is the due date. Ashley's going to be giving birth down in Virginia again. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like an awful human being for being brutally honest with my feelings, but I'm scared. I'm very scared when it comes to a second kid going back in that newborn phase. It's hard. Every parent knows this, and it's more so just... I'm just trying to be as good of a father as possible. I love the stage that Dawson is in now. But I did not like the baby stage. It's just, you know, I don't know if it's a father thing. I don't know if it's a me thing. I don't know what it is. But it doesn't mean I don't love my kid. It doesn't mean I'm not going to love my second kid. I am. I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that they're safe and loved and learning how to become a human being and have fun and feel safe. You know, I think that's one of the most important things that I could provide for Dawson is I want him to feel safe. Because at some point he's not going to. As every human, you know, as every person listening to this podcast realizes, you know, at some point in your life, you realize the danger of life and the fragility of it all. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine actually earlier today, and she had to go to a wake. One of her friends, co-worker's brother died, you know, cancer, just awful shit. Awful, awful, awful. And she saw someone that we used to know, high school, and a little bit older than us, and I didn't really know too well, but I knew of, and she said that he has cancer, and she saw him, and he's, you know, 80 pounds and doesn't look good, and it's just like, you know, I can't even imagine the thoughts going through my head, you know, even if I was fighting. It's just, I know this is a depressing thing to talk about, but unfortunately, this disease affects a lot of us. And yeah, I don't know, just to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting, obviously, but I don't know where my headspace would be knowing that, like, it just, it doesn't feel like it's going in a good direction. And I don't know how much time I have left. And there's, you know, I was actually having an existential crisis about this. Maybe it's fatherhood. Maybe it's a second baby coming. I don't really know. Well, I do know. I have, you know, feelings and thoughts and emotions, and I try to put those, you know, into a folder and really not dwell on them. Dwelling is not the right word to express, but more so just giving it thought and giving it the adequate amount of effort that I need to give it. But, you know, obviously with the baby coming on the way, I guess maybe that is why I think about life a lot differently. But I was thinking the other day about how everything we do matters because it's our life, and we might only have one life to give and one, you know, rotation on this earth. But also at the same time, nothing we do matters, because when we die, our life will go on, and when we die, other people's lives will go on. Like, for example, I think about Dawson, you know, I'm hoping I die before he does. I think every parent wants to die before their kid dies, and I want his life to go on. And of course, like, I want him to grieve me in a sense, because I want to be that impactful in his life. But my point being is that, like, you know, I see it with my parents, you know, they don't have any parents now. I don't have any grandparents. So it's, you know, their parents have gone, and at some point my parents will have be gone, but I want my life to continue for, you know, my family and myself. And then also I want my parents, like, it's so sad to think about their parents being gone, but I want their life to continue. My point being is I think there's something beautiful in that, and the idea that everything you do matters, but also everything you do doesn't matter. And that life is just beautiful as is. And we're just trying to do the best we can and to bring joy and happiness and positivity. And that's what I'm trying to do. And that doesn't mean I'm always right. That doesn't mean that I'm not sad sometimes or not angry, because I am. But I'm just trying to do my best. And I know everybody is. So I don't know. That's what I kind of think about when I'm thinking about the second kid. And I don't know if that's a good mindset to have, but I don't know. You know, of course, we're going back into the newborn phase. Ashley and I have talked about it. You know, we're going to have a toddler. We're going to have a newborn. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Another boy going back. And I don't know how we're going to tackle it. You know, I was reading off a question by one of the producers about, like, how are you going to tackle the newborn phase coming with Dawson and a newborn? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. And, you know, it's just, we're going to play it out, and we're going to put our best foot forward and give our kids as much love as possible. And, you know, with the newborn, as every parent can tell you, it's just really keeping this blob alive, you know, this beautiful little baby, and ensuring that they're taken care of and safe, and, you know, sanitizing the bottles, feeding them, you know, comforting them when they need comforting, and, you know, also taking care of Dawson and showing Dawson affection. And I think Dawson's going to be a great big brother. I really do. And I think that these two will be best friends for a very, very long time. I mean, I'm sure they'll go through their awkward stages later in life where it's like they hate each other because they're just two bros. And they're like competing at sports, or Dawson will be 2 years older. So Dawson might be like a senior in high school when the new one's a freshman or sophomore. And then, you know, Dawson's not going to want to hang out with him because he's, you know, not cool or so on and so forth. But I really do think for the majority of their lives, they'll be best friends. And I think that will start early on. Dawson has so much love to give. He's so affectionate and he's such just a wonderful, wonderful little boy to be around now. He's just loving. And for example, anytime we're watching for Aladdin and Jasmine kiss after the magic carpet ride, as soon as he sees them kiss, he immediately turns to me and will go and want to kiss me. Or if he sees someone hug on the TV, he'll immediately come up to and want to hug us. And those are great moments. Great moments I wouldn't trade for anything. So it's about balance, you know. I mean, it's just about balance, just trying to get through it. And you know, I love Dawson so much, and I want to be there for him. I want to be a good father, and I hope to be half as good of a father as my dad was to me. But that's where my head is at right now.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What baby item did you have to have with Dawson that you'll just never use? with the new one? It really depends. I mean, there are so many items that Dawson went through. It's just finding whatever comforts the baby the most. You know, for Dawson, it was this little swing when he was a baby where if he was crying or if he was just agitated, we'd be able to put him in this swing and he would immediately calm down. And so it's just finding that for the newborn, you know, whatever he needs to make sure that he is emotionally okay. That's what we're going to do. And luckily, we have a lot of baby stuff that we can try with the new one, whether it be a swing or a vibration seat or, you know, some sort of, I forget what it's called, but it's like this pillow thing that you can put on the couch with you. Anyway, there's a bunch of different stuff that we're definitely going to try out and things that we need to have. So we're going to do the snoo again because we want sleep, which is very important. So the snoo is this, it's a bassinet that rocks. And so we used it with Dawson. It was fantastic. You know, we had a heart monitor on like his foot to ensure that like we could track his breathing and all that good stuff. God, technology has come so far, but the snoo is a very important one because it was really for the first six months, Dawson was sleeping for, 7-8 hours at a time. Maybe not. Yes. But yeah, I'd say about that, which was perfect. So Ashley and I were able to get sleep. And then it was when we adjusted him out of the snoo that caused issues, but it was worth it, honestly, and which is why we're doing it again. So the snoo is one thing that we definitely want to do. What mistakes did you learn from the first time with Dawson that you're not going to try, that you're trying to not repeat? I mean, we make mistakes every day. I make mistakes every day. I think it's just about, once again, doing the best you can, trying to make the best decision in the moment. And that's what we try to do with Dawson. I think this is certainly not a mistake, but trying not to overthink a lot of different scenarios. When you have so many parents with multiple kids will tell you this, you know, with your first kid, you're so concerned about everything. Like everything has to be perfect and like the room has to be ready. And, you know, we have to watch him every second to make sure he's breathing. And you're so hyper paranoid about every little movement. And I think now with the second one, it's more so like, let's try not to stress ourselves out too much. It's already stressful being a parent. The best thing we can do for our kids is to be the best version of ourselves because that will bring the most happiness and love to them. And in order to do that, like doing everything we can within our power to ensure that our kids are safe and loved and having fun. And then trying not to overly focus on outside factors. And I think that's what I'm going to do. And I hope Ashley does the same. So again, I don't know if I would call that a mistake. It's more so just like, all right, you know, Jared, don't panic. Just, you know what you're doing and you love your kids. Like, I know I love Dawson so much and I'm going to love the new one just as much. And just showing them that and telling them that and not feeling guilty. That I'm not showing them enough love or I'm not doing everything I possibly could every second of the day to ensure that their life is better. I mean, that's just obscene. And, you know, sometimes, of course, my mind just rattles through that, you know, where it's like, oh, God, am I being a bad parent right now? And it's like, what am I talking about? You know, I just played with them for 45 minutes and now I want a break. Like, that makes me a bad parent? I don't know, you know, but so it's just trying to, and then that goes for Dawson as well, trying to eliminate those moments of like being like, oh, I should be doing more. And it's like, listen, if I'm doing, you know, of course I could be doing more. I always could be doing more, whether it be with my kids or myself or my work or so on and so forth. But, you know, that's just true with everybody in life. You know, we always feel like that. And being a parent is no different. And it's probably more heightened because, you know, you care about your kids so much and you want them to be as loved as possible. But, you know, I think just me trying to focus on being the best parent I can is the thing that I'm going to do. Last question. Do dads have their own form of postpartum depression? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would call it postpartum depression. I'm not the one pregnant. I'm not the one giving birth. Ashley is bearing 99% of the load here. Let's just be honest. I'm here for emotional and moral support. And then once the baby comes, of course, for more support, taking care of them. Is it hard? Yes. But again, I think, you know, when I look outside and I see the sun and I see the sky and I realize that we're just a part of something much, much, much bigger than ourselves, and that, you know, I'm going to try to make the best decisions possible and try to do the right thing. And that's all I can do. And I think that helps me from falling into that pit of sadness when it gets really tough, because sometimes it does, but life is sometimes really tough. But I think that's also kind of a beautiful thing. Life is not meant to be always happy and easy. And if it was, then you know, that's a pretty boring existence. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about life, is that you get to experience all these different emotions, and you get to experience easy times, and you get to experience difficult times, and you get to experience happiness, and you get to experience sadness, and you get to experience excitement, and you get to experience fear. And I try not to let fear dictate the decisions that I make. However, I'd be lying if I said that I don't experience fear, because I do. I get scared about a lot of things, but I try not to let that impact me moving forward. I feel it and it makes me nervous, and sometimes I'll run away from it, but most of the time I try to look at it objectively and make the best decision possible. So anyway, that's my podcast this week. Felt like another therapy session for me, myself, and I. Hopefully you gained something out of it. I don't really know what, but really appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I can't thank you enough. Truthfully, you're the best. Make sure you tune in next week, where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.